Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the Light the Fight podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And with me, my two favorite OGs, Rojo and K Scott. What's up, fellas? People don't know about those old school commercials.
They too young, man.
That was an old school Budweiser commercial. We're not going to get into Budweiser, though. We're not talking about controversial topics on this podcast.
Right.
Let's talk about it. It wasn't a cell phone they was using. They were using landlines that people don't even know about.
Yeah, that's an old question. Yeah, that was an old commercial. When you see your friends like, "What's that?" You know. Well, you guys, I'm feeling really happy at this moment because I'm able to smile without any shame. See, we're supposed to record earlier today, but your boy was trying to be forever 21 and do some young kid stuff. I've been doing that jujitsu like forever, but apparently I can't get any good at it. I got my teeth knocked out today. Oof. Literally, not figuratively. Wasn't my partner's fault. He didn't even know he hurt me. It was like after the fact, I spit out my teeth. I have a little bridge in my mouth. But luckily, I got a great dentist and good friend, great dentist. So if you guys in Utah, you need some great dentistry work, little shameless plug right now. Go to City Creek. No, not City Creek. Oh, I'm Stone Creek. I almost said the wrong one. City Creek is a mall. Stone Creek Dental. They will hook you up like my boy Tom Dixon hooked me up. And he's a former U alumni, so a big booster for the U. So want to give a shout out to him, but I can smile now without looking like I came straight from drug rehab in the worst ways. So, and even if I did come from drug rehab, don't mean to shame anybody that lost their teeth because, hey man, I've had plenty of teeth knocked out before. It's not fun when you're trying to wait for those teeth to get put back in. Not fun.
I'm not ex-hockey players.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Right, guys. So I know you guys got some questions. So I sent my guys out here. We have got tons of questions. So I said, you guys go pick out your favorite questions from lists, bring them to the podcast. And they have done just that. So I believe Rojo, you got a question all dialed in for us right now. So why don't you go and give us that question and then we'll hit the ground running.
Yes, I do. Once again, this is one of the many great questions that some of the students has asked us. And we're trying our best to get through all of them. We're taking our time, but we're making sure to answer them right and get them ready. So here's one of the questions from one of the students. Why do I doubt myself so much when I know I am capable to do something? So that's the question. And let's get to it.
Man, doubting yourself, even though you're capable or you know you're capable of doing it, sounds to me like this is a human condition. You know, one thing that I think, because remember, these are teenagers, so you guys tell me what you think. I think one thing is important to acknowledge or just state is that when we're all going through a hard time, no matter if we're a teenager or older, we sometimes get in our own head and we start to forget about all of our accomplishments, all the things we're capable of doing, why we're even in that position in the first place. So for example, this teenager may be asking like, how come I'm doubting myself and question myself? They may be doubting and question themselves that they could get an A on an AP test. It may be that they could be the starter of a team. It could be some things that they actually had to have skills and talents to even be in that position in the first place. I think that sometimes goes understated is that we're so focused on the things that we haven't done, the things that we wish we could still do. We forget to just show gratitude and keep score on the things that we have done that gives us confidence to begin with in the first place. Because I know for myself, and when I was younger, I didn't realize this at all, but I thought if I was good in football, that I couldn't take that confidence into anything else. Or if I was good in in acting, because we've joked around here that, you know, me and Kay might have dabbled in some acting. I was like, oh man, I'm kind of good at this and I practiced a little bit. But I thought if I'm good at acting or if I'm good at football, I can't take that confidence to other things, because I didn't realize that I actually worked really hard in football. I worked really hard in acting. And so I got the confidence by pushing myself past the uncomfortable comfort zones. So the person asked this question or put in this question, I think it's pretty simple. You're a human being. Human beings are going to doubt yourself. But self-doubt is not a sin. It's actually a necessity. Mm-hmm. If we did not have self-doubt, man, it's kind of like that's the fork in the road, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like if everything was easy to you and you're like, you just woke up and like you passed every level on any video game you played, video games would be boring.
Right.
If you just woke up and you're the best, you know, football player in the world, you didn't have to do anything for it. That'd be really weird, but that wouldn't be something that you could benefit from. You wouldn't really get any sort of camaraderie out of it. Your teammates wouldn't respect you because like you literally did nothing. You were just right. A super freak and just amazing. You didn't have to go to practice or anything. So I think taking into consideration, you work really hard to get to certain places that put you in those uncomfortable comfort zones. But realistically, if you have self-doubt that you can't do it or that maybe you're not capable of it, that means you're a human. And that means that self-doubt is that like, that's that fork in the road. It's like, I'm either going to go into it or I'm going to avoid it. What do you guys think?
Man, that's real. That's real. Especially when you're thinking about, you know, especially in the beginning stages, when I think about, you know, let's put an analogy to it. Let's talk about birds, right? You got a little baby bird. He's finally getting out of the nest.
Oh,
he
birds?
Flapping his wings. Let's talk about birds.
I like to say bird, like cold, like birds.
Birds. Let's talk about the birds.
You've been in Houston a while, man. You got the Southern slang now.
Yeah. Yeah. You see the birds. You know, I got that birds. Slang right now. That Southern accent, you know.
Hey, tell Paul Wall I want my grill.
Hey, yeah, I got to get you the Johnny Dang out here to get you a new Johnny grill. Dang.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll let
you know, iced out bridge.
Yeah, iced out bridge.
But no, what I was saying, though, you know, for me, when it comes to like self-doubt, you know, I always think about what stage I'm in. And a lot of times I'm always trying to compare my beginner stage to someone elite stage. And that causes self-doubt for me because I'm like, man, I'm not where they are. But I'm not understanding. I'm just in the beginning stages. Like I'm just learning how to flap my wings. And I understand the concept of flying, but because I haven't been actively taking steps and flapping my wings and taking my foot out the nest, so to speak, I haven't gained that confidence to be competent enough to reach said task, to become more self, I guess, confident instead of self-doubting. And so for me, when I think about that type of situation, when self-doubt does creep in, maybe there's some comparison going on with him. Like, man, he's comparing himself to the other people around him. And that's why he's feeling some self-doubt in his spirit. But that's just me, man. Let me know what you think about it, Rojo.
Yeah, Rojo, well, what are you thinking?
Like both of y'all hit it right on the point right now to me. Like first you said, cause is confidence. Mm-hmm. That's something that's big. And then hearing UK say, you know, self-doubt, you know, or comparing, you know, that's what I mean, like comparing yourself. To me, that's what as a kid, we do a lot of, because sometimes feeling the self-worthy of being in something, being the A student in class, you know, like, how many people will support that, you know, or how many people will like, shame that, you know, it kind of turns into when you're that teenager that's in high school, you are looking for somebody to build that worth, you know, confidence, yeah. Putting the confidence in you. Cause me growing up, I mean, I had a lot of self-doubt. I had a whole lot. And that was because my brothers mm-hmm. were so good. They, all of them, like all my three brothers, they were just so good. And I always felt like, you know, like
couldn't measure up.
I'm the black sheep of the family. You know, it's just like, when it comes to sports, I'm the one that's just like, I'm just out there. You know, it's just like, I'm just out there. But then I start understanding what I was good at, and I understood what my brothers was good at, but I understood what I was better at. So then that's when the confidence started coming in. So then the comparison to my brothers, like you was just mentioning, Kay, was something that I stopped comparing. Cause it was just like, they're going to be good at what they're going to be good at, but I know what I'm good at. I'm 100% know what I'm good at. And then, like you said, cause the confidence kicked in, where it's like, for me, it's like, yeah, I'm 14 years old. My brothers might be bigger than me. They might be more athletic, but I know that I can jump higher than them. I know that I can run faster than them. I know that I have more wind than them. Like I have more oxygen in my body where I can run a track meet. I can run a 400 meter and still turn around and run more. But that was because I figured out a way to build the confidence and some of the things that I was having doubts in, because I was comparing myself to my brothers.
You know, I like that a lot, Rojo. In fact, it made me think of something too, is that I think kids nowadays, they do this a lot better than, well, let me put it this way. I didn't even know this was a thing when I was growing up, and I want to hear what you guys think about this. But in today's world in athletics, and I'll use athletics as an example and how we can switch this over to relationships and social situations, But in today's world, a lot of people talk about their game. Like analysis will say, okay, what type of game do you have? Let's use like a basketball player. So, you know, I'm more like of a, you know, come off a screen, shoot, you know, shoot threes, coming off screens. You know, I'm not that good at dribbling, you know, so I can't really create my own shot, but I'm really good at getting open so I can get a really good shot. Other people will be like, hey, I'm really good at dribbling, so I have to create my own shot. I don't really, you know, run around and just make people miss, you know, and set, you know, run off screens and catch and shoot. I'm more of, I got to shoot like in, you know, in some sort of rhythm, like while I'm dribbling. Right. I use that analogy because when I was growing up, people didn't talk about their style of play in that way. That's a more like past 15 years, 10, 15 years type thing. Describe your game, describe his game. People would always describe how people played, but they didn't describe it as like, you have something unique about you in the midst of the game. So everybody's playing basketball, but your basketball strengths are you're good at rebounding, you're good at jumping. And so instead of trying to be the point guard or the person that's good at dribbling, if that's not what you're good at, that's not your thing, yeah, be decent at it, be proficient at it, but really be okay with you playing a role.
Right.
Yes.
Because that role is really important. And I think that's what a big struggle a lot of kids have nowadays is they want to be what everybody else is good at, not thinking, okay, what am I good at? What's my niche? What's my thing? So if we look at this socially, I'll talk to a lot of young men that come into me with a private practice or just, you know, students afterwards. They're trying to say, hey, you know, Mr. Cause, or, you know, however they refer to me, they'll be like, how do I get this one thing that I really want? And I'll say, okay, well, what's your game like? And they'll be like, excuse me. I said, okay, well, for example, this one kid, he said he wants to ask this girl out on a date, and not just this girl, but he wants girls to like him in general. And so I said, okay, well, tell me, what do you have to offer? Like, why do you think a girl would like you? He said, well, that's just it. I don't even know. It's like, I'm going in this asking for a girl to go out on a date with me, but I don't really know, like, I'm not really the funny guy. I'm not the athletic guy. I'm not this. Right. So he started telling me all the things he wasn't. I said, well, that's the first challenge right there. You're already telling me you don't have self-confidence going into asking a girl on a date, but you're just like, hey, Mr. Cause, tell me some sort of magic words that'll magically get her to like me, even though I'm not sure if I'm deserving of being liked. Okay. So I just simply broke it down to him. So tell me some things about what are some compliments that your family and your friends give you? Well, he turns out he does have a pretty good sense of humor. He's not like the most boisterous, like stand on the tables, dancing type of sense of humor. He's got that quiet confidence, right? It's okay. People tell me that, oh, I should talk more because I'm actually funny when I talk, but I just don't feel comfortable talking. Okay. So you have a good sense of humor. So, okay, let's put that off the side. So what else? I'm loyal. He's like, so I'm not one of those friends that stab people in the back, whatever. I talk like direct with people. And if I say it, I mean it, you know, I'm like, okay, so boom. So you're loyal, you're straightforward. People know what they get from you. You're not like playing both sides. You're not a double agent in friendships. No, not at all. So we went through a couple more things. Basically what I'm trying to say is that by the end of this, we came up with four or five things that he knew he brought to the table if he was actually going to get a date with this girl, or if he was actually going to become a boyfriend at one particular time. Because unfortunately, a lot of young people, they will basically say, hey, how do I morph myself into being what I think that person would want me to be? And when you feel like you're capable of something, but just going back to the initial question, but then like you have this self-doubt, you don't know, like, you know, like this kid saying, I'm always doubting myself. Maybe it's because you're trying to play roles that you're not supposed to fit in. If all three of us had our own musician band, you know, Kay is the lead singer, you know, I'm on bass guitar, and, you know, Rojo's playing drums or whatever. If Rojo's a really good drummer, why is he going to play the guitar? And if I'm really good guitar, why would I be the lead singer? Yep. It's like, let's put ourselves in the positions that we're suit. Let's try to set ourselves up for success. So just like that example, and I told that young man, you got to know what you bring to the table, work on those things. Not every guy is going to be born, you know, freaking perfect body, drop dead gorgeous looking person. Same thing, not every girl's gonna be born like that either. But a lot of people tell me a personality is really important in a relationship and also in friendships. Right? I've never heard someone say, I'm looking for a friend who has no personality and can't joke around at all. I've never thought like, I've never thought of that. Have you guys thought of that?
Hey, it's possible. Somebody. Yeah.
I mean, so getting back to the original question, like, can you see why I'm connecting self-doubt? Okay. Okay. It's like, I had a couple of those friends, but I wasn't looking for them. But like, how
I want a person with, like, no personality.
Exactly. No person. I want a friend that's going to stab me in the back. No personality and can't make me laugh. And it's broke. So I got to always buy lunch. Like, obviously no one wants that. But if you look at kids, like, hey, like, I feel like I'm capable, but yet I still doubt myself a lot. Well, maybe because you're trying to play some roles that you're just not meant to play. Mm. What do you guys think?
Say it again for the people in the back. That's exactly what I got to say. That's facts. But I love it, man. You just basically identifying your differentiators when it comes to, you know, who you are, what you bring to the table. And I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's good. That answers that question.
Yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes we're trying to compare ourselves so much to, like, other people, what they got. And that's okay. Cause, you know, if someone has something that you want, well, there's gotta be a measuring stick. Like, oh, in order for me to be at a certain championship level, I gotta train like them. If I want to be able to have a good personality, well, then I gotta learn how to take some jokes. I can't just be the one giving them. I gotta be able to laugh when people make fun of me, right? You gotta figure out some things that you need. But if you're thinking about all the things you're incapable of doing or you can't do because you're lacking those things, you're gonna miss out on the roles that you can play. Yeah, and you may not wanna play that role. I know some people that they wish that they could be the superstar alpha athlete and just show up and everybody pays them millions of dollars to play sports. But they're 5'2", they can't jump, they got no athletic ability. So guess what they did? They started a business.
Right.
Now they get front row seats to the Jazz game. Right? Like, yep. It's like, hey, you know, they just figured out, hey, I'm not going to be that guy on the court, but I could do something to help those people in the background, right? Like, my company could sponsor the Jazz, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, you guys. Well, as always, thank you so much for the question, you teenagers out there. Rojo, thanks for reading that question, picking that one for us. Kay, thanks as well for all you weighing in. And you guys, remember, if life's got you beat down to your knees and you're begging for please, don't forget to come listen to your OGs. We got some OG knowledge, OG wisdom for you. For all you kids out there that don't have uncles and aunties in your life, older people that have been there, done that, that's what we're here for. And until next time, thank you and be cool.